Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Critical analysis and assessment
of those studies, leaving no leaf and stone unturned, and crossing every T and dotting every I. Why? Because we realize that everything in life is codified to have a positive and constructive relationship with such matters. And surely so with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Bless and praise his holy name. So that's why we're here today. So if you're ready to get into our studies, and you may be perhaps be asking, well, who is the we? Well, Cartrell of New York City, Sister Hootie of Detroit, Michigan. Before we get started, let me give you some synopsis of this chapter we're about to approach before I introduce Cartrell and Sister Hootie. This chapter 58 is about some of us trying to appropriate what a fast is. A fast, you know, when you neglect yourself of eating and drinking in some cases to get closer to the Most High. So the Most High is telling us the do's and don'ts. Just don't put on a show for fasting and neglect everything else. The show must go on, and you still must do righteous actions, not wicked actions. So that's the synopsis of what this chapter is all about. Not a showboat fast. People just seeing you laying down and ashes on you, and that's it. And you don't do anything else. Your actions are not indicative of you trying to get the ear of the Most High. All right. So let me introduce to you Sister Hootie of Detroit, Michigan. Sister Hootie, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Thank you. Peace be with you and your family, too. And the people that are listening, I hope your day was pleasant. If not, trials and tribulations we go through, but you're patient and you work through them in terms of speaking to the Most High. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sister. Very appreciative. May bless you and your family also.
Thank you.
Okay. Cartrell from New York City. Brother Cartrell, may the Most High bless you and your family. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. All praise to the Holy One, Yisrael, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May the Most High bless y'all and your family. How y'all doing?
Doing okay, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. As long as I got the breath of life to give praise to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
Hang in there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sounds like a plan. Uh-huh. I said, Katya, it sounds like a plan.
That's God's plan. That's why he created us.
Exactly.
He gave us the breath of life to give him praise, like all his creation gives him praise. And unfortunately, mankind, who he gave dominion over the earth, is out of step, out of code, out of line, based on his free will. Free will. Taking him in the wrong direction.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? Cadre, Sujudi, what do you think about my condensed synopsis of people trying to appropriate a fast, and their actions are not indicative of them trying to reach out to the Most High?
On point.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of scripture, too. It's interesting. Oh, and by the way, before I don't forget, excuse me, Cartrell, hopefully we have a surprise guest coming on, so we'll see. But go ahead, Cartrell. I had to mention that right quick.
Well, putting us back on the road again, because Sister Yehudi likes to take us left or right. I think that this synopsis is good.
Because I'll forget. Go ahead, Cartrell. Yes, I do.
If we continue to read the book of Isaiah chapter by chapter, we know the story. We know the M.O., Yah in Israel. And he's telling us the diagnosis of what's wrong with us. And he's giving us the antidote at the same time, if we're paying attention. He's telling us what's wrong with us, what was wrong with our fathers, and he's telling us what's wrong with us. And he's showing mercy by telling us what we need to do. And some people are stuck on stupid. They're going to continue not to be inclined to seek wisdom, seek God while they can, while they have the opportunity. It's all about vanity, like King Solomon said. You're doing things for vanity. You're not really trying to preserve your soul. Like what we read yesterday. If you're on the path of wickedness, you're going to Sheol. Yah said the righteous rest, and they're taken away. They die. Yeah, everybody dies. But the Most High said, I take the righteous away for the evil that's to come. How about that? So he worried. He go home at funeral parlors. Oh, that was a good man. He died so young. She died. Oh, she was a good person. She died so young. Oh, the Most High took them because they didn't want. He didn't want them, their souls, to endure the evil that's on the earth that increases every day as we live.
Praise God.
So we
thank you. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. Got you, Sociuti. Fellow students, let's get busy. May the Most High bless us and continue to direct and order our steps. Chapter 58 of Isaiah. And the Most High says, okay, as far as your fasting is concerned, cry with a full throat without restraint. I'm reading from the Tanakh tonight. Raise your voice like a ram's horn. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Yaqub their sin. Tell them what their problem is, as Kajir said. To be sure, in regards to fasting, they seek me daily, eager to learn my ways, like a nation that does what is right on the outside, that has not abandoned the laws of its Elohim. They ask me for the right way. They are eager for the nearness of Yah. Why, when we fasted, did you not see? When you starved your body, did you pay no heed? Because on your fast day, you see to your business. You go about doing what you're doing and oppress all your laborers because you fast and strife and contend. It's only for showing up to show off and showboat.
Yep.
You strike with a wicked fist. You keep doing the very same thing, but you're trying to get next to me through your fasting. Your fasting day is not such as to make your voice heard. Oh, the way you're fasting is not such as to make your voice heard on high. I ain't hearing no what you say. As such, the fast is not the fast I desire. A day for men to starve their bodies? Is it bound of the head like a bulrush and lying in sackcloth and ashes alone? Simply to say, do you call that a fast? A day when the Elohim is favorable? On the outside, you appear to be doing what's right. But deep down inside, your actions are not indicative of that. Trying to get close to me. No, Yah says, as Kartia alluded to, giving you how he sees the fast to be. No, this is the fast I desire. To unlock fetters of wickedness. Stop doing the wickedness that you're doing. And I tie the cords of the yoke, and your yoke to it, and your idolatry. Let the oppressed go free. Stop mistreating, abusing, and dominating your brothers. Sometimes slap them on the stage at the Oscars. To break off every yoke. It is to share under the captivity of universal white race supremacy. To break off every yoke. It is to share your bread with the hungry. To take the wretched poor into your homes. When you see the naked, to clothe him. And not to ignore your own kin. We are a nation. We are a kin. And we don't supposed to be doing what our oppressors do. We supposed to break the yoke of our oppressors. I was speaking to someone on Food's Book. He was a European. And he was sort of applauding the behavior of Will Smith incident. And he said, everything you talk about, you seem to be talking about race. I said, true that. because it is, and stop lying to yourself, basically, because you think the very same way. Okay? You think the very same way. You're getting on Facebook and telling me that you don't talk about race. You don't, so-called, listen up, a false construct. And then he said, you need to take the blind outside. I don't need to do a damn thing. Okay? See, they have a tendency of telling us what we need to do. I don't need no European telling me what I need to do. I need y'all, my brothers and sisters, telling me what I need to do. I don't need no damn European telling me to take the blinders off when he's trying to keep the blinders on. In regards to the Will Smith incident, and I told him in this regard, we have too much violence in our communities over petty matters. We have bigger fish to fry. And I didn't go into detail with him explaining, but which is a unification process. And then we don't know how to control our anger. We've been under the auspices of a false construct with a double dose of violence. These United States of America was incubated in violence, created in violence, and moored in violence. And it loves violence. It relishes violence. So it tells our people, hey, keep it up. Keep killing one another. Keep mistreating one another. Keep abusing one another. You're doing a fabulous job. I ain't got to do that much. So for him, I told him, I don't need you to tell me a damn thing but what I need to do. You have the audacity to tell me what I need to do. I'm the wrong brother to say that, not coming from one of you. Now, if it came from one of my brothers and or sisters, I take heed. As the Most High told Abraham, take heed to what Sarah says. I think Cottrell alluded to that fact yesterday. We need to start taking heed to our wives, our husbands, people that's in our nation, instead of taking heed to all this foolishness, this imbalance, and so on and so forth, especially in regard to what we should be doing or shouldn't be doing, especially in regards to this fasting, brothers and sisters simply showing up to show off and showboat, and their actions are not indicative of them trying to get close to Yah, and they're keeping up the same mess instead of treating one another in the right fashion, letting that anger comport them, letting that anger control them. The Most High says in Proverbs, a person that controls his anger is like a man that controls a city. You have to have self-control and self-discipline, because the reason why that European said this country and such, I made the statement, some of you sisters seem to think what Will Smith did in regards to Chris Rock, that shows a sign of being a real man. I said, no. I said, a real sister would have grabbed her man before he, because you watch it. You watch your husband and wife in public before he got out of that seat and made a damn fool out of himself, okay? A real sister would have been on point with her husband. She would have allowed her husband to make a fool out and then attack another brother. They said, okay. What she would have said, try to learn the right codification. Hold on, honey. There's a time and place for everything. We learned this under King Solomon. Just because you feel like doing it ain't what should be done. Will Smith should have exercised some self-discipline and self-control. He said, we'll talk to him. Maybe he don't know about me and have alopecia. And so before you get all irate and upset, let's talk to him after thing going on and let him know what's up and tell him in the future, appreciate him not mentioning me in that fashion anyway. So at least give him an opportunity. If something arises after that, then perhaps you handle it different. But as I said, I've lived around violence. I know violence as a military person, as a person that was a bad guy, and it's the last tool in the toolbox. I choose to exercise. People that don't live violence never live violence. Okay, let me finish. That never live violence. They are quick and prone to employ violence, but that should be the last tool in the toolbox. Go ahead, Cartier.
You have to give props to your man, what's his name? You got slapped?
Oh, Chris Rock.
Because he was a rock. Because he didn't act violently back towards the violence that was perpetrated against him. He turned the other cheek for his brother, which is what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Right? On this level, these people are professional entertainers. Jada Pinkett Smith been at comedy clubs the comedians snap on people in the audience. And matter of fact, Chris Rock was snapping on people, not just Will Smith and his wife, but he was snapping on other people and their wives.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got up and slapped him.
Mm-hmm.
But you got up and slapped because Jada Pinkett, she felt the way about it. And she's supposed to be professional because I'm sure she'd been to comedy clubs where she was laughing at people who the comedian snapped on, right?
Yo, she's something special, Cadreo. She's something special.
She ain't nothing special. She ain't nothing special. She only brought more attention to herself and her bald head by doing what she did.
Exactly. But she...
Nobody looking at your bald head. Nobody paying attention to your bald head.
Right. And we read what we sow.
How many sisters walk around with bald heads?
Right.
As a matter
right.
of fact, sisters look better than white women with bald heads.
Exactly.
I just have to say that. They look more natural with it. White
exactly.
women, when they have bald heads, they look like they're sick, right? She
right.
don't look like she's sick. And she's
no.
sick. If she hadn't mentioned that she had alopecia or whatever it is, nobody would have known she had that, right?
No.
Right.
Nobody would have known she had that. If she had kept her mouth shut, kept quiet, didn't make it public, it wouldn't have been a problem. Because there's many beautiful bald-headed sisters, let me tell you.
Exactly. I concur with you on that. And I'm going to tell
well,
you this, Kaji. Oh, go ahead, Sasha.
Well, it was plain that, well, she did sit down and talk about it at the red table. But I did mention to someone, maybe Chris Rock didn't know.
Right.
But if he did, I believe what Will did is his past, not reacting when he maybe he thought he should have. With his dad's situation or other situations with his life, and then just looking at the face of his wife, he decided to act on it.
Right.
I'm not saying he shouldn't protect his wife, but it's more.
He wasn't protecting her. Protecting her from what? Words from a comedian?
Oh, wait a minute. See what it is out in the open, and being
out in the open,
he
makes a joke of it.
He should have talked about it in the open. You know what? Not Chris Rock, but Will Smith. I mean, because she opened it up and talked about it in different shows or to her show. You know, if he would have opened it up, instead of saying, well, he knew, no, to keep the friction down. You know, you have to, even when you're upset, because I said it all the time, we're taught to use our words. When we get adults, we choose to use violence. It is time for it. But that wasn't the time for it. He could have fussed at him. He could have brought the attention like Constance West did something crazy. People thought it was crazy, but he wasn't hitting nobody.
Right.
He could have brought that to attention and how his wife felt about it. People would have stood up and still gave him a standing ovation. It's we to sit back and see it's a way that it could have been dealt with different and still
was,
sticking up for his wife. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
he
Judy. He could have walked up there like you alluded to and said, Chris, can I see the mic for a minute? And he could have broken down to them like they're 4 years old about her alopecia. And he could have told Chris Rock, I don't appreciate under the circumstances your joke. And I don't take kindly to you saying this joke under these circumstances because I'm feeling some sort of way about my wife. And you don't know, the public don't know what she's going through, and drop the mic and walk off. He didn't take all that.
There you go.
Well, he didn't call her ugly. Matter of fact, the joke that he made, that she should be the next one in line for G.I. Joe, was really him opening the door. Let
right.
a black woman play G.I. Joe in the next movie that you're gonna make about a G.I. Joe female.
And he kind of made it as a compliment, sort of, you know? I mean, that's the way I took it before all that flapping went on. You know?
Right.
He got real ghetto.
He certainly did. And it wasn't cold.
Not at all.
And the Oscars are really thinking about, they're not going to take his Oscar away, but they're going to discipline him, I think. People are going to remember this, but they're going to remember that slap more than anything else. Even the dad of the sisters, he betrayed the dad, the biological dad of Serena and the sisters said he wouldn't have done that. He said he would have dealt with it a different way and still protected
him. Serena and Venus' father never embarrassed himself like Will Smith did.
Well, he made that comment. He wouldn't have done it that way.
Exactly. He never did it. In all the years that he trained his daughters, and they've been professionals, you've never seen Richard Williams, Serena and Venus Williams' father, act niggerish.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we read in this chapter, it says, cry aloud. Spare not.
Yeah.
Let the voice of the trumpet show my people their transgressions. So obviously, Will Smith hasn't been studying Proverbs. Has
exactly.
Neither has Chris, because he needs to watch his words.
But let me tell you, Sister Yehudi and Cartrell, and I think I spoke on this when my wife was in that accident, and she could have been killed. And if you saw the destruction of the car, and my stepson could have been killed. Now the niggerish wanted to come out, but the Most High said, "No, you can tell him what's on your mind, but don't lay hands on him. That's inappropriate." I got up in his face and I had my finger in his face. And I said, look, I don't appreciate you. I said, if my wife hadn't spoke when I drove up, I assure you my response would have been quite different. I said, there's a time and place for everything. That time my wife spoke to me. She said, honey, I'm okay. I'm shaking up. My stepson spoke to me. He was shaking he was still upset. But other than that, it was a time and place. Now, I very well could have blew my stack, but that would have been the Proverbs. I control my anger. I control the city because I control my anger. And so you can't do what you want to do when you want to do it. We are so uncodified. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And I speak in regards to Isaiah 58 in the case of fasting and anything else for that matter. We don't know how to do things under code. And we think just because I want to do it, it's okay. So Shahudi, it is nothing that you want to do is okay. And that's why we need this codification. That's why these studies are essential to us, our very nature.
All right,
y'all. Let's finish up then. Y'all finna give us...
I said, are we finished?
Yeah. We're finna get right back into it. Y'all is telling us in regards to fasting, how you should approach fasting, not under your own code. Y'all says, if you fast in that, of course, to share your bread with the hungry, to take the wretched... This is verse... let me put y'all on the path. Verse 7, chapter 58 of Isaiah. He said, this is to share your bread with the hungry and to take the wretched poor into your homes, your brothers and sisters. And when you see the naked, your brothers and sisters, to clothe him and not to ignore your own kin. Then, as a result of your fasting, the proper way of fasting, then shall your light burst through like dawn and your healing spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall march before you as a result of you doing things codified. The presence of the Elohim shall be your rear guard. Then, when you call, the Elohim will answer you. When you cry, he will say, here I am. If you banish the yoke from your midst, your wickedness, your idolatry, your mistreatment and abuse and domination of one another, and in regards to slapping people on stage in public under the so-called Oscar. The menacing hand and evil speech. You need to get away your menacing hand and evil speech when you're doing fasting. And offer your compassion to the hungry and satisfy the famished creature. Then shall your light shine in darkness, and your gloom shall be like noonday. The Elohim will guide you always as a result of doing things codified and fasting. He will slake your thirst in parched places and give you strength in your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring whose water do not fail. Men from your midst shall rebuild ancient ruins. You shall restore foundations laid long ago. You shall be called repair of the fallen walls, restore of lanes for habitation. If you refrain from traveling, in addition, the Sabbath, from pursuing your affairs on my holy day. If you call the Sabbath delight, Yah's holy day on it, if you honor it and go not your ways, nor look to your affairs, taking care of your own business, nor strike bargains, then you should seek the favor of the Elohim. He will set you astride the heights of the earth and let you enjoy the heritage of your father, Yaqub. For the mouth of Yah has spoken in regards to fasting, in regards to the Sabbath, he's putting you under codification. Even though you're doing the Sabbath, which you should. Even though you are fasting, which you should. There are codified ways to fast. There are codified ways to do the Shabbat. Don't do it for showboating. Do it because you're really trying to get connected with me. And how do you show me that, Yah says? You take care of one another. You don't neglect that. You put your plug yourself in with me. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. So Shehudi, Cartrell, you have the mics.
Even now, but at that time, let's first talk about the fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Which you covered, and Cartrell had covered, mm-hmm. that it was like, even today, I know people say, did you fast today? Today is the day of fasting, atonement. Like,
right.
I think the show.
Right.
Not humbling yourself. You don't always have to tell people you're fasting, but working as a nation.
Right.
You made a point that you just read that when you call, which is a 9, Yah would answer you. When you cry, he would say, here I am. If you take away the yoke, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of unrighteousness, if you do all that, if you extend your being to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted being, then your light shall dawn in the darkness and your darkness be as noon. And you'll be rewarded. To, you know, I think we all have a problem with people boasting and do things on a humble level. And that's what they were doing. And defiling the Shabbat. And the Shabbat, I think Cartrell can correct me. Some of the feast days you did yearly also require fast. I don't think they were feast days. Solemn days were included with fasting. Was considered like a Shabbat or a Sabbath. Resting and fast that day. I stand corrected. He can explain better. But even today, we're still doing it wrong. And our ancestors were in the land. That was interesting.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Judy. Cartrell?
All of the holy days are considered Shabbats. And the way we count time that is captivity is not the way our ancient fathers counted time. Use the lunar cycle and the solar cycle, and we're under the Gregorian calendar, where they would seek to change the time and the season. And we know they change the time and the season. We got that, you know, daylight saving time, spring forward, fall back. And when you count the months, September is supposed to be the 7th month, October supposed to be the 8th month, because anything octo, octagon, octopus, is in reference to 8.
Right.
November, which is Nove, which is 9 in Spanish, is the 9th month. December, which the etymology of December, the decimal point, DEC, is represented by 10. Decimals, DEC, decimals, represented by 10.
Right.
So September is supposed to be 7, October is supposed to be 8. November is supposed to be 9, and December is supposed to be 10th month, not the 12th, 11th, 10th, and 9th month. So we know they changed the time, and it's not in accordance to how our ancient fathers counted time.
Yeah.
But regarding that fact, there are 7 days in a week, and one of those days is a Shabbat. So
mm-hmm.
we have settled in on what the world considers the seventh day, which is Saturday, because the mm-hmm. first day of the week we consider Sunday. So from Sunday to Saturday is 7 days. And mm-hmm. up until this point in time, the Most High has blessed us in observing their Saturday. And it may not be Yas Shabbat, but at least we've taken a day off to give him praise, to give him honor, to give him glory, to seek him, to learn his word. And I'm sure he's going to show us favor because he knows we have to be healed. And the mm-hmm. fact that we take that opportunity to do that while we're in captivity, like the prophet Daniel took the time to pray 3 times a day, the Most High showed him favor. So the Most High will show us favor because he loves us. And we're taking the time and opportunity to find him and to find ourselves. Because not only have we been cut off from him, we've been cut off from ourselves, the knowledge of ourselves, who we really are, and what we're supposed to be doing. So
right.
many of our people who have come into the awakening, they take the opportunity because we have, quote unquote, religious freedoms to observe Saturday, the seventh day, according to the Gregorian calendar. And I don't think Yah sees anything wrong with that because he knows we don't know.
Interesting.
So it has to be in your heart, right? Remembering Yah's law, statutes, and commandments. And in this chapter we just read, he just told us, thou turn away thy foot from the Shabbat, from doing mm-hmm. thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Shabbat day of delight, and holy of Yah, honorable, and shall honor him. All these things we're supposed to be doing every day. Honoring Yah, praising Yah, not doing our own ways, nor finding our own pleasure, nor speaking our own words. We're not supposed to be doing that at any time, much less on the Shabbat day.
Mm-hmm.
So it behooves us to get in line with Yah's antidote for us, because we speak what we want to say. We say what we want to say. We do what we want to do, right? We don't honor Yah. We honor ourselves. We take selfies and post them on social media, right?
Uh-huh.
But to the degree that Yah is giving us both the diagnosis and the antidote all the time, specifically in this chapter, because he lays us out. He said, you seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness, you want to declare before me that y'all are righteous and forsook not the ordinances of the Elohim. Are we doing the law? We doing Torah. They're asking me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching Elohim. Yeah, we do. We're asking you for justice. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, we say, and thou seest not. We've been fasting since ever since we knew we Israelites. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou hast not taken no knowledge. Yah said, I'm hiding myself from you because y'all are wicked. He said, behold, in the day of your fast, let me lay it out, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. You say you fasted, but somehow, some way, you finding how to be pleasurable, and you doing your work. You're not really focused on me 100%. He said, behold, you fast for strife and debate. We want this strength to debate each other. Yah gave me strength so I can cut that nigga down. No, that's not what Yah wants you to be fasting for. And to smite with the fist of wickedness. No, you're not supposed to be slapping your brother Will Smith, Chris Rock. No, you're not supposed to be doing it. You shall not fast as you do this day. Don't do that. These are not the fasts that are acceptable to me. You do all these things and you want to say you observe the day of Yom Kippur. And then you go right back to doing the same thing. Oh, no, it's not acceptable to me. Is this such a fast I've chosen? Because you keep doing the same thing. You wonder why I don't answer you. A day for a man to afflict his soul. We've seen Job afflict his soul. We've seen Esther give the command. Everybody fast. We need to afflict our soul because they're trying to kill us. It is to bow down his head as bulrush and spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Would thou call this a fast and acceptable day to Yah? Is not this the fast that I've chosen? So here's the antidote. So when people say, well, we fasted already. You fasted already? Did you loose the bands of the wickedness? Did you undo heavy burden, your own personal iniquities and transgressions, or you just did that one day of fasting and go right back to your transgressions?
Oh,
did you let the oppressed go free? Did you break every yoke? Or are you trying to break any yoke? Are you trying to let the oppressed free? Or are you good? You satisfied? Are you comfortable in captivity? No, we all oppressed. We're supposed to be fighting for the liberty of all our people and breaking every yoke that's upon the minds, bodies, and souls of our people.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not to give your bread to the hungry? You fasted. Did you give your bread to the hungry? Did you bring the poor into your house? Do what? Bring who? Where? Oh, hell no. You ain't bringing no poor people in my house.
That's right. That's
when
how they
see
say.
Did you cover him or did you talk about him? Did you take a picture of him and put it on social media and laugh at him, mock him? Or did you cover him? And that thou hide not thyself from your own flesh. Don't run away from your people's problem because you good, you satisfied, you rich, you famous. Don't run and hide. You ain't got to deal with the hood no more. You hiding yourself. Where you at? You made it. Come back. Help us. We need help. That's what Moses said. Then shall your light break forth as the morning. When we help each other, when we lift each other up, when we look out for each other, the poor, the needy, the fatherless, and the widow, when we clothe them, when we bring them to our house and help them, that's when our light is going to break forth. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And he says freely, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. All of us need to be healthy. And we, trust me, we ain't healthy. And thy righteousness shall go forth before thee. The glory of Yah shall be thy reward. Yeah, we waited for Yah's glory. And we the ones that spark the glory of Yah by helping each other, lifting each other up, looking out for each other, not hiding ourselves from each other, not beating each other down. We have the opportunity not to bait and point a finger at each other. Yah tells us the diagnosis and gives us the antidote. Are we willing to accept the word of Yah and take the antidote? Because it's right here.
Well, we have some more people in the audience, so I want to take a moment out. Katria always try to get them to make a commentary and so on and so forth. Here's your opportunity. I'm glad you kept your hand down. So here's your opportunity. If you have a question, have a comment, and so on and so forth, feel free to raise your hand, hit number one on your phone, and we'll bring you on. You got a commentary. And because everything has to be codified. So that being said, if I don't see any hand raising, it suggests and refer and apply to me. If you don't have a question, don't have a commentary. And we're going to begin to move right along to the next segment of study in the Songs of Solomon.
So how do they raise their hand? They have to press star one?
Star one. They hit one. Their hand raised. I'll bring them on.
Hallelujah. I'll wait a few seconds.
Yeah, just go to your page and get ready and give them a few seconds. You know.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I thought you was giving the audience a few seconds to pose any questions.
Yes, yes, sir. Chapter
All right.
six. Okay.
All right, so it's 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Last off.
Ready to go.
Right.
After six.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yah.
Hallelujah. Oh, you've been wonderful to me. I'll tell you about that later. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Where has your beloved gone? Sad. Oh, fairest among women. Where has your beloved turned? Where has your beloved turned aside? Let us seek him with you. My beloved went down to his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed his flock in the garden and to gather lilies. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flocks among the lilies. Oh, my love, you are as fair as... Okay, I don't know this word. Patria.
Tirza.
Say it again.
Tirza.
Tirza.
And my book doesn't read my book doesn't read that he was feeding his flock. It just says that he went to feed in the garden.
You know, they added this when they do this in italics, because you're right, it feed, he feeds among the lilies.
Right.
You're right. Yeah, I have to remember that. Someone taught me that, to omit the italic size writing. Oh, my love, you are as fair as Tizoc, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. Turn your eyes away from me because they overcome me. Ooh, your hair is like a flock of goats, woolly, that have hopped down from Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep that have come up from the washing. All of them bear twins, and not one among them has lost her young. Your cheeks behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and innumerable maidens. My dove, my perfect one, is the only one of her mother, the choice of the one who bore her, the daughter saw and called her blessed. Queens and concubines, who is she who shines forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners? I went down to the garden of nuts to see the budding of the wadi. I hope I pronounced that right. To see whether the vine had budded and the pomegranate had blossomed or bloom. I did not know. My desire made me as the chariots of my noble people. Return. Return. Oh,
Shulamite.
Thank you. Return. Return. And let us look upon you. Why should you look upon the Shulamite, as it was again. Huh?
Shula.
Oh, Shula. Shulamite?
Shulamite, yes.
Shulamite, as it were the dance of two armies. I let that marinate. It's a lot.
Oh, yeah. So now we know this young lady is a Shulamite.
Right. Yep, because I know it wasn't King Solomon.
It's a song that's going back and forth. It starts out with people asking her, where is your beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where is your beloved? Turn this aside that we will seek him with you. And then she answered them, my beloved is gone down into his garden, to the bed, spices, to feed in the garden, and to gather lilies. And then she says, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. That's a oneness that every couple should have. He belongs to me, I belong to him, right?
Yep.
You belong to me.
I know you belong. Yeah.
But she's dealing with the king, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's dealing with King Solomon.
Right.
At this point in time in King Solomon's life, he has 60 queens. Count them. Verse 8. 80 concubines. This is what she's dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
How much is that? 60 and 80.
140.
And virgins without number. This is what she's dealing with. So King Solomon is just getting started, because he wound up with how many wives?
More than 140.
More than 60.
Yeah.
What king has 60 queens?
Dang, gee.
That's probably the first time you ever come across that. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines. Are you kidding me? And he's just getting started. And she's in love with him, no matter what. Amazing. So what was that number? 3 score? In 80 is 140?
Is
she
going to
be, she going to be 3 score and 1.
Hmm.
Plus the 4 score and virgins without number. You had to be strong women to be dealing with that. They really did.
Well, you know, her name is indicative, I think, somewhat of her personality. Who she was is Shulamite. And Shulamite means peace, like the word shalom. Shulamite is a feminine form of the Hebrew name Solomon related to the word shalom.
Oh,
she
really?
She must have been a very impressionable young woman that struck the king's eye. She knew how to comport herself, and sometimes she didn't when she went about running around the city unescorted looking for him. She showed she had shortcomings, but for the most part, being Shulamite, it means peace. She must have a good disposition.
Listen to what King Solomon said. He says in the 5th verse, turn away your eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Your hair is like a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. You know, it's the eyes are the windows of the soul, right?
Uh-huh.
The eyes must have been so pretty that he just couldn't keep looking at her eyes because
as they overcame
she probably would have hypnotized him.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like Esther. She probably was the prettiest, beautiful sister in all of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And she had that peaceful spirit. And he was in love with her with these pretty eyes. This girl, when I was young, she called me pretty. And I could never understand what she was talking about, but people always mm-hmm. talked about my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that King Solomon is always talking about this lady's eyes. He said, you have eyes like a dove.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's talking about he can't even look at her anymore.
But think about also what he said in the next insane your hair is like a flock of goats. Goat's hair is curly, isn't it?
Yep, woolly and curly.
Yeah.
Well, it could be straight. You know how sisters could straighten their hair?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They had hot combs.
Yeah. Well, if Cartel can sing a song, it leads me the way to sing a song. Now, if King Solomon was back, it was in our day, he would say this, you was a bad mama, Gemma. You just find it, you can be.
I can stop singing. I know I can. Yeah, yeah, mess.
Hey, gotcha. Open that door. I had to step on in.
I hear.
Pretty brown eyes. I don't know the lyrics to that, but that is wrong.
Yeah, we got it that much.
That's probably why my dad liked my mom. She had brown eyes
with gray circle
inside of the brown eyes.
Right.
I've never seen that in my life.
Yeah, that would be striking.
Yeah.
That would be striking.
I've never seen eyes like that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know that pretty eyes? You remember Vanessa Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, man. Imagine staring in her eyes all day. Not you, sister. Yehudi.
I know.
But
yeah.
My mother was a bad mama jamma. My sister was lots of guys just drooling. Give me another beer. Give me another shot.
Right. But you know, Natalie Cole had those strange type of eyes. Yeah.
From her mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got blue.
You got blue eyes.
I had a blue around my. I was like, why can't I get my mama's eyes?
So you have blue around your eyes.
Yeah. You got red. And I got blue.
Well, obviously, the Shulamite was a beautiful woman, a very attractive woman, and her eyes were alluring to the king.
Mm-hmm.
Like Katriel, he first started accumulating wives, 60 queens and so on. Even that being said, found her very attractive, alluring. Because you know what?
Do you think he knew all of their names?
Yeah, I think so.
Wait a minute, do we think he knew all of the names? Is that what you asked?
I think so.
He better have.
Yeah.
You know, he would have had, there's probably a couple of times he called them outside their name, and they contended with him. What you call me? He's like, I asked better to dwell in the desert land and also to contend this woman.
He probably had him. He probably had a list keeper that walked with him. Who is it? Who is that? That's your queen, so and so. Okay,
all right. No. It was like King Asteris. You had to make an appointment, mm-hmm. and he had to approve the appointment. So
right.
Queen Esther wanted to see you. Queen Shulamite might want to see you.
Uh-huh.
You had to take a number.
But think about this, Katriel and Sushuri. Now, out of all the queens he had what, Queen of Mizarine, for Mizarine. But out of all the queens he had, she was the one he thought to write this lovely song about. None other.
And this is a long song, isn't it?
Man,
and they praised it, too. They said the queen in concubines, and they praised her. Who is she who shines forth as the morning, far as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners?
So we talk about the Beyonce of her time, I guess?
That's what it sounds like.
You know what? I don't think Beyonce, you know, y'all know that woman that was sitting next to Will Smith before
mm-hmm.
he lost his mind? She went on to say she had a gold dress on, very conservative.
Yeah.
That she is beautiful to me. Out of all those women, mm-hmm. and Beyonce included, that woman is a beautiful woman to me. The sister.
Yeah, we got a lot of them, man.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of beautiful sisters.
Hallelujah.
Yah is the artist.
Exactly.
And he pays special attention to our sisters.
Right. And they are essential to us. They're not just a part of us. They are, and Katriel alludes to this all the time throughout our studies, they are essential to us as a nation. They have saved the nation, Katriel alluded to in time past studies. The women that birthed the children in Mizraim. And defied the Pharaoh's order to kill the male children. Miriam, his sister, who followed Moses' little boat down the river to make sure he was taken care of. His mother, who defied the Pharaoh, has always been an essential part of our nation. If you don't know, now you know.
We got a title for them.
What's the title?
Please share.
The Mothers of an Everlasting Nation.
Praise God.
The Daughters of Zion.
Our sisters. And our king.
Mothers of an Everlasting Nation.
Right. And our king and Abraham has given us some clue as to how we treat them. What did the Most High tell Abraham, our father? Founding father, take heed to the voice of Sarah. You need to heed the voice of your wife or husband above all else. And he says, in regards to the king, how he says, my sister, that's first and foremost before anything else. That's your sister. Your wives are not your slaves, Your wives are not someone to put your feet on. Your wives are not your footstools. They are your equals. They are your friends. They are your sisters and should be treated accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
They're your closest family member.
Exactly.
Your wife, your husband is your closest family member.
Exactly. Praise y'all, Katria. Praise y'all, sister. Praise y'all, fellow sisters.
That might have been, excuse me for interrupting. Oh, man. I wonder if Adora forgot. Adora was going to come on tonight. I don't know if that was her or not. And she changed her mind.
What's her telephone number? Somebody on. You know, our queen mother is not tech savvy. What's the first digits of her telephone number?
341.
341?
Yeah.
No, she didn't have an opportunity.
313?
No, she didn't have an opportunity. Maybe some, you know, she a busy lady. So.
But yeah, so I'm not upset. I was hoping she said she was, but she might have got caught up in something. That's okay.
Yeah, we would talk to her, but it would be nice to hear for the students to hear another voice, a voice of our Ima, and that would have been nice, but. She will be back.
Okay.
She will be back, believe you me.
Yeah.
If she's breathing and walking, she'll be back. And you better believe
she's 314. Yeah, she's talking.
Yeah. She's not on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Katria and Sister Yehudi, it's been lovely sharpening each other and sharpening the fellow students. Sister Yehudi, what is your closing commentary or comments on whatever was studied on tonight? You may not have any. But if you do, share it with us.
One thing I love to share, I'll say this. Hold on. Here's my surprise. Go ahead.
Shalom, shalom, family.
Oh,
hallelujah. Hey, it's been a whirlwind. I've just been on, got off a telephone call, been on there 3 hours.
Wow.
People are calling for this word. And it's my position to give it to them if they want it.
Well, we just covered a chapter. And Isaiah says, cry out loud, spare not.
And spare not. Isaiah 58 chapter.
Oh, you go. Yes.
She knows what's up, don't she? She right on point.
Of course.
Ima.
And tell my people, you need to finish that. Tell my people their transgressions.
In the house of Jacob, their sins.
Yes. Israel don't want to hear. They do not want to hear. You know, what I don't understand is you hear our people run around all day long saying, I love God. I love God. That is until you start sharing his word. Then you see how fast they want to get out of Dodge.
You better believe it.
You begin to speak the words of the Almighty. Anger. That spirit of anguish that sits up in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Debate, contention. Talk about JC, you ain't got nothing but love and laughter, huh?
That's true.
But that's okay because you know what? The Almighty's thinking of to fight his battles. And once we take Yah his word to cry aloud, you know, and what Israel doesn't realize. You're sharing because you love our people. You love our God. And you know that it's going to be his way or no way. So if regardless of what they feel or what they think they're doing, you know, thinking they're serving the Most High. But if it doesn't agree with the testimony and the words of the prophets, then there's no light in it. You see? And any time you're really seeking truth, It doesn't, when you hear, when truth comes, you don't meet it with anger and rebellion and rejection. You sit there and you listen, and then you go and search it out. You see, you know, if you've got truth, you don't mind being questioned. As a matter of fact, you invite questions. You invite being having to put under scrutiny so the people know that what they got is real. Damn, when everything else falls to the wayside. Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And I just feel like this. Our God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things I just went through. And it's emphasized when we really are astute to the word of God. All through, he's identifying himself as being what? I am Yahuwah, your God, Israel. Every third line, I'm Yahuwah, your God. You see? And we should be proud. Should be a, it should be a blessing, a joy to be able to stand up and speak the word of the Most High God who chose us to be a peculiar treasure to himself. Just think about that. How is it that the world knows all the name of all these other gods, but they don't know the name of the Most High God? How can it be?
Because he said, in that day, you shall know that I am Yah. A lot of people are going to wait until that day. But beyond us speaking aloud and calling out our people's sins, we have to feed the hungry. We have to bring the poor inside from homelessness. We have to clothe the naked. We have to be available to our people to help them. The Most High says, then shall your light break forth as the morning, and thy help, which is what we all need, shall spring forth speedily. For these are actions beyond words, and thy righteousness shall go forth before thee, and the glory of Yah shall be thy reward, which is what we want to spark. Yah's glory. Then you shall call and Yah shall answer. So when we take action in doing these things, besides letting our people know their transgression, helping the poor, helping the needy, breaking every chain, when we begin to call on Yah, that's when that connection that our ancient fathers had with Yah, we will have too. He says, thou shall cry and he shall hear. He shall say, here am I. If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, you got to take the yokes off our people. And putting forth the finger, we point fingers at each other, blaming each other, and there's no time for that. Speaking vanity, that's all Facebook is, vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, you got to feed poor people. Matter of fact, Joe Biden said, everybody getting ready to be hungry. And satisfy the afflicted soul. Who's afflicted? You got to find out and help them. Then shall your light rise in obscurity, and your darkness be as noonday. Got to do acts of kindness, helping our people, lifting them up, the physical action besides the words that we teach them.
And everything you said is 100%, Moray, 100.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the problem. You know, we're just everyday working people, and we can only do so much as individuals, but in unity, we can do all of those things that you just spoke of. I've put it out there, and I've shared this with you before. I've put it out there on any number of occasions. Listen, you know, everybody talk about all the ones that are wealthy. Oh, they need to do this, they need to do that. Why not, you know, instead of depending on a few wealthy people who they're not going to give anyway, why not ask for a minimum from many people? If just think about this. One, it says 43 million of us here in America. If you cut that number and have 22.5 that would commit to sending $1 a month, $1. That's 22,500,000. We can help our people. We can do that. But you know what? When you put a call out like that, who's going to hold the money? And you might get one thumbs up, and that's the end of that. You know, they begin to tell you what their camp is doing. We have yet to come to the understanding that we're a nation in exile.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the whole world against us. We don't need to be against one another.
Mm-mm.
But our minds are so engineered to thinking that we are an organization or a camp or a group. And guess what? If you don't belong to my organization or my camp, I can't do nothing for you.
So that's where we have to come in, Ima, because Mosai is telling us to feed the poor, help the needy, the fatherless and the widow, right? So with these camps, organizations, synagogues, temples that our people do have in their possession, they can open up food banks. They can open up volunteer centers to give out clothes for the winter. They can do that. And it can be organized by the nation, right? It don't have to be organized by one camp or one temple. No, we taking the reins, showing you how to take advantage of your 501c3, like the Catholic Church and the Christian churches and the Muslim mosques do, in order to help their people, feed their people, shelter their people, clothe their people, build housing for elders. Use what you got. Since you're so stuck and hard on that, use it to fulfill this, and your light may break forth. You may begin to understand that that's what y'all was talking about. But
well, when you say, when you said the key words on how to get,
ain't worried about who's gonna collect the money, who's running it, it ain't gonna work like that. So dealing with the temples and congregations and organizations and camps, it's like y'all need to set up food banks, simple food banks, and volunteer service to help the poor of our people.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they could come to your camp, your synagogue, your congregation, with the help of the nation, who's helping coordinate it, maximize your 501c3, which you're stuck on, and feed our people. Help
right.
our people, clothe our people, shelter our people, build housing for our elders, whatever, if they need it.
Well, that's the solution, Moray. But how do you implement it and get our people to understand that?
By fasting.
We're so caught up in our understanding of organization and campism and churchism and religion and whatever.
So we have to use them. That's
never
what I'm saying.
Never coming to the understanding that a nation consists of all of those things. But we are all working as a unit for the good of all of our people. But we're so locked into individuality and our that mentality that I belong to this camp, I belong to that organization, who's your leader? Never giving to our leader. And the reason why I'm saying that, because this is the same message I'm putting out there every day, Moray, asking our people, listen, no one is telling you to give up your camp or your organization or whatever. We're saying, let us come together and operate as a unit, as from the perspective of nation. Keep your camp. Keep doing what you're doing. Okay? Let's just begin to think about all of our people, not just who belongs to your group. They don't want no part of that. They want the leaders want to say, well, listen, I got mine, and I set this up, and I done all what you're talking about, sister. So what y'all do?
Ima, for me, those words from those Israelites, you cannot allow them to block us from what y'all told us to do, right?
Well, Ray, I'm way beyond that.
Beyond. The fact that there's Israelites that are not in line, not in tune, y'all knows that. So we have to work with what we got, the willing hearts. The Most High looks for the willing hearts. If your heart is not willing, he ain't working with you. He don't want it. He don't want your offering if your offering is not of a willing heart. So we have to find a willing-hearted people and show them. It's about nation. It ain't about your congregation. It ain't about your leader. We're gathering like Yah commanded us to do as a nation. And Yah better get in step and catch up with it. Otherwise, you're going to be left behind.
Praise Yah.
That's what it is here. Because if we let these people stop us, oh, we can't do nothing that Yah told us to do. Because they won't do it. They don't want to do it. No, we going to do it. In spite of what y'all don't want to do.
Well, that's my point, Moray. Had we not, if we had listened to Israel, there would be no United Nations of Israel now. We have fight of our people. I'm asking the question, how do we get our people to come to the understanding that you're so eloquently speaking about now? We've been putting it out there everywhere. At least I don't put it like this. I can only speak for self. I've been putting it out there everywhere. I know to put it out there. Putting it out there with love in my heart, in a spirit of love and unity. Let us come together. You know, Israel, we got our people on social media every day needing help. You know, let us come and internalize and unify ourselves where we can begin to set up accounts where we can reach out and help our people, the homeless, the sick, the poor, the fatherless, the widow, as Yah has commanded of us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, maybe you can give me the correct procedure on how to go about doing it, because only thing in doing it myself, only thing I get is, well, who's your leader? Well, we're taking care of our people over here. You know, listen, I've already done that. We've already done that, and we got this going on. And what y'all need to do, y'all need to come and join our camp. Huh?
Leave them by the way.
If you got the antidote or the correct procedure or how to get this understanding across to our people, please share. Because I'm here to carry it.
Ima, the Most High brought our people out of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. And that they convinced them to give away their idols, did it? Most High swallowed some of them up in the ground, and most of them that came out didn't make it into the Holy Land. With what they saw, with what Yah was speaking, what the prophet Moses was saying, as powerful as Yah is, as powerful as Moshe is, there's some Negroes that are rock, and they're going to get swallowed up in the ground because they are rock. Most of your hard-headed, stiff-necked, you're going to hell. And he's given us the opportunity now to change our ways, to forsake our wickedness. Matter of fact, yesterday we read, the antidote for yesterday was, a contrite heart and humility. That's how y'all got to come to me. That's what the deliverance was yesterday. Contrite heart and humility. And then he brings on the fast. In order for your light to shine and for your voice and your prayers to reach me, these are the actions that you have to take. You have to feed the poor, the homeless, the father, the widow. You have to clothe the naked. These are what you should be fasting for, not for debate, not for pointing your finger, not for criticizing each other. Do these works, and your light is going to break forth like the noon day. We don't have time for Negroes that don't understand, that are stuck on stupid, that are not reading the word of Yah and trying to apply this antidote that the Most High has given his servant, Yisrael, for us to come up out of the dilemma in the situation that we're in. And if we waste our time trying to convince the Dathams and the Abirams and the Koroks, sitting down having debates with them, we're wasting our time.
Well, I don't have no debates with them.
So we're looking for the willing hearts. And we do have a brother who came forward. He got a program where he's trying to set up to help people that need help. Whatever they order, they need for their house, he'll buy it for them and send it to them. Let's crawl before we walk. Let's build that up and show Israel we could do these things that Yah told us to do, because Yah is really guiding us. It has to be in our hearts, and he'll send it our way. That's how we know that we're really communicating with him and that he sees the sincerity to accomplish these things in our hearts. It's not just words. It's not just stuff we say, you know, for people to hear that, you know, we've read this and, you know, we know this. No, it's in our hearts to do this.
Well, I'm in total agreement. I am not disagreeing with you at all. I'm 150% right there with you.
Yes.
And so that I can get in touch with him and I can help him everywhere, any way I can to
further his. He's on the Council of Elders. I forget his name, but he's on the Council of Elders, you know.
Oh, okay. I have to bring it up the next meeting. Good.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And the program that we have, it can be expanded. We can show the various camps, congregations, and synagogues. This is what the nation is doing. You should implement it too, and we'll help you implement it. Right?
Yeah.
So can we? He's trying to implement it. He hasn't implemented it yet. Is that what you're saying?
Right. He just became an elder just recently, and this is what he's offering us.
Okay.
Yes, Ima, as you said on Fool's Book, and as the book of Proverbs says, when you perceive a man to be a fool, you walk away from him. So when you perceive some of my brothers and sisters and these so-called camps to be fools, don't waste your time. Walk away.
Well, I'm still trying to find them when y'all talk about. I don't waste my time. I'm steady moving. I'm still trying to find that one that you're speaking about.
Well, Eva, it's good to have you on. Eva, do you have any closing comments or remarks in any regard?
Yes, Israel, we're going to the 8th of April, we're going to have the Nation of Islam, which is our people, too. They're coming to the understanding that they're Israel. We're having a gathering of 50,000 in D.C. And
Wow.
It's going to be a speaker there. So,
where is that?
Is that in April?
Next week.
Oh, okay. What city?
D.C.
Oh, okay.
Interesting, Ima. Mm-hmm.
What day is that?
April the 8th.
Okay.
And so I'm saying to Israel, for near Old House of Israel, Yah's doing some marvelous things. Don't miss the train. Don't miss the train by listening to the teachings of man and forego the words of your God. The Almighty is steady. His wrath is consistently entering into the realms of this earthly realm down here more and more each day. And it's no different than it was in the days of Noah. Noah preached about the flood coming, and the people went on about their business, drinking and being married and having a great time of it. Until the Almighty, Noah and his family went on that ark. And the Almighty could have stated in the word of God, you better seek him while he can yet be found. He's tired of our foolishness, Israel. We are a nation, and you have got to begin to think like a nation, like you're a part of a nation instead of a religion. You've got to stop being out there day in and day out arguing about and debating about who's right and who's wrong. And in the meantime, we got this man's foot on our neck and we ain't taking our argument to him whatsoever. As a matter of fact, whenever he brings forth his argument, we jump on his bandwagon with him against our own people. So wake up, Israel. and know that Yah is with us. He's standing here waiting with his arms wide open, saying, repent and return back to him. And guess what? Together in unity, we're invincible. But to continue to do as we have done, we remain this broken, disenfranchised people. The tail and not the head. The joke of every nation. Wake up, Israel. Return back to Yah. Give a helping hand. Contact the Minister of Information and see how you can lend a helping hand in doing for your nation. As it was said in the days of old, ask not what your nation can do for you. Ask what you can do for your nation.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, what Kennedy said.
And give your praise. Let us begin with praising our God, praising him with everything we have. And as coming in September 16th of next year, we're going to fill D.C. with bodies in prayer and bowing before our great King to tell him we're sorry, to seek his forgiveness. And then we're going to step back and watch God do what he's going to do. But you've got to mend that breach, Israel. There's no way around it. So let these so-called leaders out here with Almighty have already warned you, saying the leaders of this people cause them to err. Listen to the words of your God. That's why Moray and your sister Yehudi and your suit is on every day to give you the word, to plant the word of your God in your ears so you can hear. And you don't have to lean to your own understanding. Just obey the word of your God. You'll be all right.
Hallelujah.
I love you guys. Hallelujah.
We love you too, Ima. Ima, we have another caller. I guess want to make some commentaries. I'm going to bring them forward. Area code 248. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, everyone. Sister Ima, this is Tevis. Tevias. I believe you said that event is with the Nation of Islam is in D.C., but Brother Samuel said it's in Los Angeles.
Oh, he's right. He's right. Thank you. You're so right. Thank you for the correction. It is in Los Angeles.
Okay. That's all I wanted to say. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't have...
Shalom, everyone.
Okay. Shalom. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Good to hear you all.
Okay. Was that it, sister? Just that...
I just need strength. I'm just dealing with life struggles, but as long as I have y'all and you all, I'll be good.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I would just like to share this quickly, if I may. I just spoke to my brother, and while I was there in the room waiting with him, I saw his spirit begin to leave because I saw his blood pressure begin to consistently drop. So while he was going, making his transition, the doctors and nurses and everybody was in the room fussing over him or whatever. And I put this music on, hallelujah. And I'm telling the spirit of Yah came over me. And I began to praise Yah. I said, Abba, you said to enter into your gates with praise and thanksgiving. Well, my brother's getting ready to enter into your gates, Yah. And we praise you. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Yah. Hallelujah. And guess what? The room cleared out so fast, they forgot all about my brother. Okay? But I know he entered into the gates of our God with praise. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Okay. Well, praise Yah, Ima. Sister Yehudi, Any commentaries?
No, all my commentary. That was my guess, my commentary.
Thank you very much, Sister Judy.
Yes.
Cartier, any closing remarks or commentaries?
Yeah. All praise to the Holy One of Israel for bringing Ima Hadura on at the appropriate time. It's not coincident that she came on in this particular chapter, because Ima always crying aloud, crying out, fearing not, lifting up her voice like a trumpet to show our people their transgressions. Even though she get a lot of flashback and feedback and kick back, and Ima's out there fighting the battle. And I commend her for it. And I pray that Yah continues to strengthen her and give her the endurance to turn our people around, because it's in our heart to see our people change. But if Moses couldn't do it, if Yah couldn't do it, the Dathans and the Abirams got to go. They just got to go. The Dathans, the Abirams, the Cold Rocks, you know, they just got to go. I mean, they saw everything like everybody else saw. But why the earth swallowed them up? Or why did the fire devour them? And as far as Noah's concerned, Noah wasn't out there debating and arguing and fussing and fighting with nobody. He was building that ark for the day that the rain was coming. And he was diligent in the work that the Most High gave him. And unfortunately, he couldn't convince anybody to help him or participate in the work that was so divine that would have been salvation for them. So Most High didn't tell us to build no ark. He did leave a whole list of instructions that we're trying to apply ourselves to. And the stronger we apply ourselves to them, the more our light will shine brighter and brighter every day. And the more we'll be able to help more and more of our people. The stronger we get, the stronger our connection is with Yah. So sometimes it starts with a few, and it gradually builds up. And you're talking about coming through all these years, centuries of captivity, and the cycles that we've been through, and the hurt and the pain that we've been through. Our people are scarred deeply. And when we see them, it's an astonishment. It's amazing that common sense is not there. Logic, reason, rationale is not there. But Yah going to break that cycle, because he does the impossible. He said, I'll bring the blind by way which they do not. So there are going to be some blind Israelites who don't know up until that day that Yah comes. But he says, in that day, they shall know that I'm Yah. So all praise to the Holy One of Israel, because his word is so true. We are the living evidence that his word is true. And we pray that we have hope for the future to come. Everyone that's on the sound of my voice, praise God.
Praise God.
Praise
God. I want to bless and praise the Most High for an opportunity in order for us to sharpen each other as we do on this study show. That's the whole premise, to sharpen each other under codification to the Most High. And I'm thankful for Ima Adore showing up and not showing out, but putting it out. And the sister from Michigan, I believe. Sister, your mic is on.
Yes.
From Michigan. Thank you, Most High, for you showing up and putting it out. And Sister Yehudi and Katria, as I always said, if you don't know the Most High in your studies, you're totally confused about everything. I always make the point for our sisters are concerned, they're not just a part of our nation. They are an essential part of our nation. But that's what Most High.
I'm sorry. What's the sister's name?
Sister.
Is she still on?
Tabby. Yes.
Sister. Yes, Tevia.
Okay, Tevia. May the Most High bless you.
Yes,
Tevia. Thank you.
Tevia and I, we're supposed to work together. You know we in the same.
Yes, yes, yes. I'll have it ready to Wednesday.
Whenever. Just want to remind you, but it's at their own pace.
I'll have it ready. I've been working on it. I just have to print it out. And send to you.
Okay.
And I'll send it to you, Sister Ima.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And getting back to closing, I want to thank Sister Tivia. And I want to thank everyone that tuned into the study show. And I always said, sisters are not just a part of this nation. They are an essential part of this nation. They have saved this nation many a time. As far as the birthing women in Mizraim that defied Pharaoh's order to kill our male children. As far as Moses' mother defied to order Pharaoh to kill her child. And Miriam that followed her brother, little basket down the stream and make sure he was well taken care of. If it wasn't for those women, I don't know what would have happened to us. So that's why they're an essential part of the Real Talk for Real People study show also, because we know the value of our women, especially if they know the value of themselves. That being said, we offer you parting gifts. We can't give them to you, but we point you in the right direction. As we studied in Isaiah chapter 58, the right kind of heart and spirit to have. King David had that heart and spirit. So we ask you to go to the Most High in prayer tonight, ask him for a humble heart, a contrite heart, where you can have a codified, connected relationship with the Most High, and you can receive something as a benefit. The Most High said you can receive a constructive and illuminating constructive relationship with him. Praise and bless his holy name, and we believe him. That being said, we don't know where y'all going, but you're getting ready to get out of here. Tavia, Sister Hudin, Katria, Ima Adora, y'all want to say shalom and good night to the people.
Good night and be blessed.
Shalom.
Say, do like Ima said, help the nation out. Go ask what the nation could do for you. Ask what you could do for the nation. Visit the website, yahwillgather.us. That's yahwillgather.us. What can you do for the nation?
I like that. I like what Ima said, and I definitely like for you reiterating that, Katria. What can you do for the nation? Praise Yah and bless his holy name. We love you. Shalom and good night.
Get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. I say you just thank the Lord. You just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's hope for all. Among those loved the most, you know they've been loved the most. They've been loved the most. There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner, who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner, for there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. You know there's no hiding place. There's no hiding place. So people get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. I say you just thank the Lord. You just thank the Lord. That's why I'm here to say that I believe, I believe we're gonna make make it one day. Brothers, I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. Sure enough, a true, true believe.